Everybody, happy Monday. Today is October 23rd, 2023. This is Across the Pitch. We got the old dynamic duo in the studio today. It's Dave and myself, the original two who kicked this off what feels like forever ago. Dave, listen, man, it's a weird time in Philly sports. So how are you doing as the Phillies just lost to the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, I mean, not ideal, especially now, as you sort of said, the Phillies losing to the Diamondbacks sort of with the series in their hands, it sort of puts tomorrow night in some doubt. I think you'd probably, a few exceptions. I think a lot of people probably came tonight thinking that Nolan would get the game done. But hey, you only score one run. You've met multiple opportunities with players on base to, you know, get some runs, and you leave them stranded. You're gonna struggle to, you know, struggle to win games of that, especially when you give up three runs in one inning, in the second inning, and sort of. Yeah, it wasn't a good night for the Phillies, but you know, the Eagles won on Sunday Night Football, which is huge. Got back to winning ways. So yeah, mixed bag, and obviously, as we'll discuss, the Union losing the final regular season game.
Yeah, it's a weird time. I mean, we all thought after the Jets lost that the Eagles were kind of done for right now. Like, oh, they got to play the Dolphins. The Dolphins are flying high. But you bring out the Kelly Green, and all of a sudden you get a little mojo back. You beat the Dolphins in pretty convincing fashion. I thought the defense played great. And as Jillian says, in the words of Jim Curtin, yeah, not good. Jillian is half of the one team we agree on, by the way, with Kyle Almaney, her husband. Great show. Great duo there. But the Phillies, listen, like I said, I've told you guys on the AAT Sports Chat, Vinny Velasquez is like the poor man's Aaron Nola, or vice versa. Aaron Nolan's the rich man's Vinny Velasquez. Like, you'll have like three or four really great innings or a really good outing, and then just shits the bed. So, you know, maybe Nola was just due for this bad performance. He got out of his system, right? We win the game tomorrow, and then the World Series, he's back to what he was earlier in the playoffs. So let's use some optimism here. But I'm not crazily optimistic on the Union right now. I think most of the fans in the area are not. For those of you who missed it, actually, you and I, Dave, we both missed the game on Saturday, so we kind of caught the highlights. The Union did fall to the Revolution 2-1 on the road on decision day, and they are now in the fourth position in the MLS playoffs. So the bracket's set. The first round is going to be Wednesday on the 25th. The Red Bulls, they snuck in, those Red Bulls, to keep that playoff streak going. They snuck in. They'll be playing Charlotte at 7:30 p.m. on the 25th. And Kansas City hosts Jameer Montero and company out in San Jose at 9:30, or rather in Kansas City at 9:30. And Valerie says, I'm worn out. I think we all are. As great as all this is, the Flyers are kicking off their season to a decent start. Like, it's just a lot of sports hitting you at the same time. So, Dave, just your initial reaction from the loss against New England.
Not really too surprised, as bad as it sounds. I mean, yeah, the Union's road form hasn't been good for a while, and I think that's probably been the downfall of this team this year. When you sort of look at, you know, their sort of overall run or sort of overall sort of performances leading into the end of the season. I can't think the last time the Union actually won on the road. It must have been, looking back, you have to go to the start of August, for the last time the Union won a game on the road.
If you keep talking, I'll keep looking back for it if you want me to, because I'm trying to think of it too.
So DC, where they beat Wayne Rooney's deep. Well, Wayne Rooney's not even managing DC United anymore, but yes, DC United 3-1 win. DC was the last time the Union won a road game, which is literally 2 months ago. So I mean, that road tour wasn't great, and you sort of look at it going into a best of three series. We've got to play a road game for some bizarre reason. I don't really understand why this is a best of three series. You know, again, like, you played the League's Cup, you played a long season with a lot of travelling in the MLS, you got the CCL. Like, of course, there's a lot of games on there already, but of course, you had on this new playoff format where, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I don't see why they've had, obviously, I feel like it's to appease the money people at Apple
TV.
It is. That's what I mean. To many people at Apple TV, it's a stupid thing, because I mean, I think, sorry, just probably, I remember Jose sort of mentioning in the group chat, there's an 11-day break between between the first and second game, I think, which, again, I know we're talking about players like having breaks and things such as that, but it's ludicrous. If you didn't go out and win like 3 or 4-0 in the first game, they then have to wait 11 days to, you know, get back out there and get back at it and that could just completely that kill their momentum.
Agreed. So for those of you who are unaware of the new playoff system, and as Valerie perfectly puts it, it's a stupid playoff format. It's a best of three. It's home, away, home. The Union, fortunately, are hosting the two home matches if it gets a game three. And I believe, if I remember correctly from hearing the breakdown, if it ends in regulation as a draw, it goes straight to penalty kicks, similar to what we saw at League's Cup as well. So you can really, I mean, if New England wanted to, just park the bus on game one and just hope to get the PKs and squeak it out that way. And Jose, oh, look, Jose, who was just at the Phillies game, watching that terrible match, he says Martinez can't be the reason why the offense isn't clicking. Makes no sense, Jim Curtin. So to your point, Dave, I know we're big NBA fans. The NBA likes to drag out their playoffs for like 2 months. It's too much.
Yep.
Right now, you're dragging out the MLS season into the winter, which, I mean, for us right here in the Philadelphia area, it's not too bad. If you're talking about like the more northern areas of the country, come November 12th, it gets a lot more chilly than it is right now. That's just the reality is. Even right now, it's pretty cold. So you're extending these playoffs potentially, 12 days between game one and game three? That's a long time for just the first round of the playoffs. And you're already, like, as we've already kind of beaten this drum a lot, you're already beating these players into the ground. The product just can't be that great come the semifinals, the Eastern Conference finals. And that's where it bothers me, because you're right. The way it was set up before was great. If you wanted to do only six teams, and Jose says, look, we got live in-person temperature reports. He's cold, and it's October 23rd. So can you imagine in about 2.5 weeks it's going to get any colder? If you wanted to do six teams and just have that be the format, fine. I personally enjoy the seven teams where the first week, the first seed gets a bye. I don't mind that. It worked great. It worked perfectly. And now you're just, to your point, dragging it out. So my question to you, Dave, in other sports like baseball, basketball, a seven-game series, a three-game series, a five-game series typically does give you the better team as the winner. Do you think that's applicable for soccer? Do you think a longer series actually determines the better team?
Probably, I guess. So Vinny probably would say yeah, because I think over a certain amount of time, the better team would be able to flex their muscles. But as we've seen with the Phillies, I mean, they're clearly a better team than the Diamondbacks. A game away from being eliminated from the...
Are they?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of, I mean, if you look at the quality of the players they've got on the roster and, you know, overall, they're a better team than that. Like, even you look at like, the 76ers from a couple of years ago and they got beat by the Hawks in the playoffs. Like, the 76ers had the better roster and they got beat. Like, do you know what I mean? Sometimes it just doesn't... Perhaps it shows this more of a mental game as opposed to talent, and that's the way sometimes the sport is. But I think if you look, compare it to other like football leagues in the world, the MLS, like how many leagues do a best of three series to determine, or how many leagues do a playoff to determine who the best team champions of the league is to start off with? Then who the hell does a best of three series to have, like in the opening stages? Like, no league in the world does that. They just, no. I know, of course, the MLS is, you know, trying to make itself its own independent league and whatever, I respect that, but like it makes you look stupid in comparison to the rest of the world when you're doing the best of three series in the playoffs. Like, I can understand like a two-legged affair where, you know,
right,
you like both team plays home and away, the better team gets the home leg, second leg at home, then goes to penalties, whatever, if it's like a draw, like after two legs or something, they do away goals, whatever, like they're doing the CCL.
Right.
Whether you want to do that, like, I can understand that. Like, but no, they don't do that. Like, it's the best of three series. It's gonna be the outrage as well, because I can't imagine the gap between the second and third game would be as long. Which, no, 3 days between that. So the Union could go out and win 3-0 on Saturday night, have an 11-day break, which allows the Revolution to regather themselves. The Revs win that one game, win the second game off coming off a high of that other game. The Union are trying to like, regroup themselves. It's just a weird thing. I don't know why the first two games are so spread out, and then you literally have bang bang for the next two games. It's sort of ridiculous, really.
Yeah, I'm about to pull up the schedule too, and also just looking at the rest of the Eastern Conference as well. So we have Cincinnati as the number one seed. Obviously, the winner of the Red Bull Charlotte match will face off against Cincinnati. Now for the Union, right? They are playing on the 28th, the 8th of November, and the 12th of November. So you're right, 11 days between game one and game two, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not. we've seen the Union come off breaks or long stretches, and we haven't really been that great. You could argue on the other side that maybe that extra rest, considering how tired all these players already are, is maybe a good thing. Jose says, I can only take so much of Farrell and Kessler, and I agree with you. So then my question for you then would be, do you think that rest is at least beneficial for the Union? Because for me, I don't. I actually would rather them be Wednesday, Saturday. But maybe you think otherwise. You think a little bit of rest may be better? Same thing for you?
It kills your momentum completely. Except if the Union, that's just what I said. If the Union go out and win 3-0 on Saturday, not saying now, but if they were to go out and win 3-0 on Saturday, as a winning team, what's the one thing you want to do as a winning team? You want to play three or four days later. You want to carry that momentum. And you've got to wait 11 days. You're sitting in your hands, you know, picking your fingernails, waiting for that next game. Where in that time, the Revs can completely reset. They can refocus. They have 11 days to get over that defeat. So it somewhat sucks up the momentum. I guess it's a double-edged sword, because if the Union were to get beat, of course, they've then got to go and win in New England themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird...
So now another thing that I'm looking at too, just in terms of the people who have a bit of a break, Cincinnati last played against Atlanta on the 21st of October. So they would have about an eight-day break before they play the Red Bull. So the Red Bull will only have a four-day break. But to your point, you know, let's say the Red Bull have a really good showing against Charlotte and they play really well. Yeah. They're going to be more high energy, ready to go, going to Cincinnati. And listen, you can compare it to the MLB if you want to. The Braves complained about it. Who was the team? The Dodgers complained about it. They had these longer breaks and they just felt like a bit off. They felt kind of rusty. Well, so, yeah,
go ahead. As I say, sitting in the NFL in previous years, like, you know, the first seed to come into it, and then I think the Ravens getting beat by the Titans and other teams, you know, first seeds coming in like late and then being completely blown out because they've played late. I think, again, perhaps there is the argument there, but I just think. In football, again, I think it can be a bit of a momentum killer when, you know, especially for this Union team, which has been so hot and cold all year. And, you know, again, they went on this unspectacular and beaten run before the final regular season game, you know, from, I think, what was 4th of September all the way to the final game. And I think they pretty much drew every game apart from like two of them. Yep. It's, you know, you just want to, I think, in this sort of situation, you just want to carry on playing, keep the momentum going. But should we dive into the game look at the game or assess the game on Saturday night? Because, I mean,
we should. Before I do, also another weird thing with this playoff format, okay? So Columbus and Atlanta don't even play till the first. So they get an extra 3 days off before they play when we've already completed our first game. And then they play on the 7th. So think about it, they have three games in 11 days where we would have potentially three games in 15 days. So even the breaks between the two teams are so much different. I mean, it's not a massive difference, but it's 4 to 5 days. But also think about it from this way. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, the Union beat New England on the 8th, right? They win two, they knock them out, we're good to go. Now they're potentially waiting another 5 or 6 days before the next round, assuming the other games go to three matches. Yeah. And then it's like, well, what do you want? Do you want the other teams to knock their opponents out within two games, or do you want them to take it to three and tire themselves out? It's the same argument you make for basketball, right? You'd rather sweep a team and rest than play game seven and then have to double back again on another seven-game series.
Go to the NBA things, right? And we see it so often as well, like when a team's about to sweep the series or, you know, they're 3-1 up in the best of seven series, like, you see like some very, very dodgy officiating. It does, again, it could, you don't know what the league stance is. Does the league want more games to be played? So, you know, it's better value for money for Apple and everything. Would we see some contentious referee decisions, which you perhaps wouldn't see on a regular match day? Because who knows, like we see it in the NBA all the time. Well, you know, like, I've got the referees who, the NBA always brings out when there's a sweep or they want to extend to a game seven, like,
I know you're talking about. I can't think of his name, though.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you do see that. And I think, I'm not trying to say the MLS is going to do that or like the NBA is like rigged or whatever, but like, you do see that. And it wouldn't shock me to see if there are some contentious decisions in certain games or certain series that they want to go the full distance. And perhaps even if knowing the Union's luck, because I think their games are obviously finishing a bit later than everyone else's. Like, if the Union have drawn, like, no. I think you were sort of saying that Columbus will probably play their first two games for the Union, even get to their second game. So, like, right. If a lot of teams have ended up winning the first two games and winning both series, winning the series, and the MLS has come into this revolution game with the Union, you know, leading 1-0, leading the best of three series, are you going to end up seeing some like contentious decisions, like we did see, funny enough, on Saturday night with the unlucky goal with the handball,
which
a bit harsh. The goal, Harry, a goal been disallowed for? I'm not too sure what, but I think you might see some dodgy decisions in that way, and then that strikes up some like contentious arguments of the officiating being in his interest.
Can you imagine if Messi was in the playoffs? He'd be even more. You'd even have worse officiating. So, we do have a game on Saturday. It is against the Revolution. We just saw them this past weekend. So, it's hard to say that a terrible amount is going to change between then and now. So, in terms of what you expect from this team, how confident do you feel against New England compared to the other teams? Would you have rather played against Columbus or Atlanta? Because I personally feel comfortable with New England at home. I think going to Gillette Stadium with the turf being what it is what would make me upset. I don't want to play Atlanta right now because of how well they can score, and I don't trust that we can keep up in a scoring match. We almost blew the game against them earlier this month, at the end of the season. Columbus, I kind of worry about as well. So I think out of all the teams, I'm most comfortable with the Revolution, but maybe you feel different. How do you feel about playing the Revs?
No, I think it's something. Just say the Atlanta game obviously was a tight one in Philadelphia the other week, and then of course, you know, the way that the Union played in Atlanta earlier in the season in the summer was just embarrassing. It was an embarrassing, awful, embarrassing performance. I think would I trust the Union to go into Atlanta and get a result if they needed it? No, probably not. I think it was probably better than two ties, and of course, sort of just if the fans haven't seen the brackets yet, the Union will face the winner. If the Union were to win against the Revs, they would face the winner of Cincinnati versus Charlotte or the Red Bulls. So that's who they would play in the semifinals. I think looking at what to expect, would I rather play New England? I think the team I feel less threatened by out of the three teams you mentioned. But again, as we know with the MLS playoffs, like anyone could beat anyone, and you know, the Union have already been bitten by the Revs. You know, the support of Shield year, that the one beat the Revs five times in a row before then getting embarrassed by them at Subaru Park in the playoffs. So anything can happen in the playoffs.
Well, the last five matches between the Revolution, and Jillian mentions we must test the goalkeeper as well. And I know Jim Liner, who has been a frequent commenter as well. Jim, thanks for joining us. Also mentions he'd rather play New England at home. So the last five matches between these two clubs, 2-1, obviously, this past weekend. The Union took care of business 3-0 against them previously. It was 2-1 Union, 1-1 Union, and then 1-0 New England about five matches ago. So over the last five, we've won three of them. Or rather, we've drawn or won three of them. We've only lost two. And again, that's where I feel a little more comfortable. I also am a little bit frightened about Cincinnati, to be perfectly honest with you. Because we saw last year, Cincinnati was the one club that could test us the most. And that's why when we hosted them last year, I was like, oh, crap. They're going to beat us. This is just not going to be our year. I think that was a Leon Flock goal, wasn't it? The Cincinnati game? So it took a Leon Flock fluke, really poorly struck ball to beat them last time. So if anything, I'm really rooting for Red Bull and Charlotte to maybe have a big upset. Yeah. Between the two, I'd rather play the Red Bull.
Because, sorry to interject, it's the semifinals. That's just a straight knockout, isn't it?
Yes. So after this round, it'll be the Eastern Conference semis.
All right. If it was Charlotte or Red Bulls that won, would the Union host the semifinals?
Well, yeah, because it'd be the higher seed. Yeah, exactly.
But I wasn't sure whether or not. Obviously, the NBA and stuff that changes, but I wasn't too sure if that was different because obviously it was set bracket. I think, as you sort of said, like playing Cincinnati haven't exactly had the best luck in Cincinnati the last couple of seasons. No. Of course, excluding the playoff game in regular season action, I think last year they lost by the old goal again this year in unfortunate circumstances and embarrassingly collapsed against them in the at Subaru Park earlier this year.
Yeah, they were up 2-0, and then you had that abysmal second half. In terms of the Revolution game, though, last past weekend, we had the lineup of Ouan, Carranza, Gazdag, Wagner, McGlynn, Bedoya, Harriel, and the back three of Lowe, Elliott, and Glessens. Do you feel comfortable throwing that lineup out again on Saturday at home, or how? And what changes would you put out there? I know we have Brujo back.
So I've got one. Obviously, I put Martinez in there for Bedoya straight away. I'm not being funny.
You don't think Bedoya is going to start the first playoff match?
I'm not sounding harsh. I don't want to be funny. Of course, Bedoya was told he wasn't really at the team next year. I'm not being funny. If I'm Jim, I'm not starting him. I'm not putting him anywhere near that starting 11.
Wow. That's
just me. If you're playing the circumstances that there is, like, of course, I'm not going to question any Bedoya's heart and determination, but is his head really going to be all there? Is he really going to be? Do you know what I mean? Like, he,
yeah.
Again, there'll be players in there that have not only performed better for the team this year. I mean, Bueno, of course, Jose Martinez, Brujo, when he's fully fit. But like, Ali's obviously been a great servant. But like, is he 100% there? Is his focus 100% there? Is his determination, like? Again, like, if you've been told, I'm presuming he wants to continue playing next year, which is probably part of the reason why him and you try to have that conversation with Ernst Tanner. Like, are you really going to be wanting to risk injury, as we saw that he suffered last year in the playoffs with a hip injury? I still don't think he's gotten over. Is he going to really want to risk himself getting injured in there that could hamper a potential good move in the winter? Whether it's to the MLS or elsewhere, maybe in Europe or something, like, is Ali going to really want to be risking himself? The same for Kai. I mean, like, Kai Wagner's left. He's gone. I don't think anything's going to ever convince him to stay now. I think that relationship's beyond repair. I presume he's going to want to go back to Europe and make a move back to Europe. And look, they're mid-season in Europe. So him going, leaving Union, he'll be going straight into a league in Europe and starting, or going straight into the season. So again, is he going to be... Of course, we know Kai's a brilliant player, goes at 110%, but is he going to, looking at it from his perspective, leaving the club soon, is he going to be going at 110%, crashing into challenges, put his body on the line, knowing that it could impact a potential move for him and, going back home? I don't know. And in a best of three series as well, where perhaps you have a bit more room for comfort in terms of, a bit more room from stake. Is it worth Jim potentially just experimenting a bit as well and giving other players a chance?
I feel like anytime we've experimented, aka Atlanta match, we've just fallen flat. So
terms of just like perhaps not playing an Ali Bedoya just taking them away from the lineup and, putting players out there that you know are going to be there next year, which I imagine Kai would play because, again, he's the best left back in the league, but you do have to somewhat question whether they are going to be crashing into things at 110%, wanting to, put the bodies on the line, which Kai does every week. Is he going to want to be risking that, in the best of three series in the playoffs, knowing full well he's going to be trying to go to Germany, Spain? I think I saw Brentford or someone that linked with him.
And also, if you look back on the last time we played the Revs, so we played them also on May 20th. This is going way back at this point. It was a 3-0 victory. That was also a 3 in the back, by the way. So he's done it twice so far this season. Curtin has played 3 in the back. That lineup, that was a bit different. We had Ua, Carranza, Wagner, Olivier on the right, Martinez, Gazlak, Flock, Lowe, Elliott, Glessens. So it was a weird mixture of things. But that was also when Flock and Martinez were playing a lot better today. Todd says, no Jose, no party. And then Valerie says, wouldn't the greater motivation be to leave the team with a trophy and give it your all in your last days here? And that's also fair. If anything, he wants to end on a high note. If he wins a cup this year, Bedoya's retiring. That's the reality of it, right? I would say he's going to go for it. But at the same time, it's also going to depend on the lineup you're going to put out. Jim says, I feel they both will play well and not hold back, which is fun. If you're going to go with a diamond, then maybe you put Martinez and you put Bueno, not Martinez, Bueno on the back, and then you put Bedoya on the right, and you put McGlynn on the left.
I wouldn't stop Bedoya at all.
Then put Quinn Sullivan out there on the right side?
Well, I think Bueno, is Bueno available to play? I think
played against the Revolution.
So, I'd probably go Jose in the six, Bueno and McGlynn.
Is Jose not playing? Because people say Jose.
Martinez, I think, Jose Martinez is back, I think.
No, so he's not available due to the suspension. That was from 3 days ago. So if somebody in the comments has something that I'm not aware of, because I've been busy as hell. I've been going through a lot the past
I'm convinced his suspension's up.
He would have been on Saturday, but now Todd's saying there's no Jose. So now I'm maybe sure if I'm not missing something, because I've been busy as hell all day, so maybe I missed something in the news. But either way,
does he mean Jose Nunez or?
Oh, yeah, maybe Jose Nunez. See, that's where it gets confusing, guys. You guys say Jose, throwing things around. I'm not sure if you're talking about Jose Nunez, Jose Martinez. And then Kyle says, Finn's up. Listen, Kyle, I'm sorry that the Dolphins lost last night. I apologize. And Todd says Jose Nunez. Okay, see, Todd just giving us a heart attack here. You're saying no Jose, making me think Brujo's not available. Okay, good. So then I agree with you, Dave. Then it would be Martinez and Bueno would be in the lineup. You put McGlynn on the left. Or you try to do the double pivot and you figure out with Kai and Harriel. I personally would rather see Harriel over Olivier. I haven't been impressed with Olivier over the past, I can't imagine how long. Definitely. I can't remember the last time Olivier's had to go cross into the box, personally. No. And I think
it wasn't in the squad, was he?
What?
Wasn't in the squad on Saturday.
No. And Jillian says, Mike, that shirt is fire. Thank you, by the way. It's a Randall Cunningham throwback.
Oh, yeah.
From way back when. Kelly Green. So anyway. The lineup is something we'll have to play around with come on Saturday. But I do agree with you in the sense of a Bedoya should come off the bench. Now, the thing is that Curtin's not going to do that. Curtin's not starting his first 12 game without Bedoya in the lineup. I hate to break it to you, Dave. It just is what it is, and that's that. Now, in terms of a score prediction, what do you think, though, for the score? They're at home now. The weather should be nice on Saturday.
That's been a tough one, isn't it? Again, like, the team's been so inconsistent. I think, they've drawn a lot of games. I think, as you sort of said, each game goes to a penalty shootout, doesn't it?
Yes, after the winner. And the regulation goes to shootout.
After a draw, yeah. They did, in fact, quite a good run in penalty shootouts as well this year. Even last year, even the last couple of years, excluding the MLS Cup.
Historically speaking, the Union don't fare well in shootouts, though the Leafs couple
of years they've done very well in shootouts. I mean, even if you look at the not last year's playoffs, the year before they won back to back shootouts, didn't they?
Sure, look, see, we got an optimistic people. We got 2-0 from Valerie, we got 3-0 from Jim. Todd says, no more McGlynn Bedoya double pivot, it doesn't work. Neither guy offers anything defensively. And Todd, I agree with you, I'd rather see Bueno and Martinez in the double pivot. I think we basically said all during that time when they played together, these Venezuelan, teammates are playing well for each other. They're thriving together. They're both back. Put them out there. I agree with Todd. I think it's just too slow. It's not strong enough, especially because you want to win the first game convincing. You want to go out there, set the tone, put the two Venezuelans out there, let them do the thing, bring McGlynn off the bench if you have to. Bedoya, same thing. But go ahead, Jose. Jose, Dave, your prediction for Saturday.
Oh, crikey. It's a tough one. I'm not confident that they're going to win.
Everybody else is. You're not.
I just haven't seen enough out of this team to just, like, sit there and go bang the table. Again, I think they're harshly done by on Saturday, but I mean,
it's going to be 80 degrees a high, 60 low.
Draw was a fair result. I'll probably go 2-1. 2-1 Philadelphia. It would be a Nickadelphian. I'll say 2-1 Philadelphia.
2-1 Philly. I mean, look at the game on Saturday, right? They went up 1-0 off a little fluky goal from Carranza. The handball against Lowe was I don't agree with it. I don't disagree with it. I thought it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it was a damn man play.
And then you get Blake giving up a weird goal on the left hand side at the end of the first half. They did have the lead. My problem with me is the fact that the Union are giving up these leads pretty frequently. I think Todd or somebody posted recently on this past week how many points we've dropped over the season when we've been leading. And also, that's the start of the second halves have been worrisome for me, too. And that's what we saw against Cincinnati, right? You go into the locker room up 2-0. You're feeling confident. You open the second half like shit. And the next thing you know, it's 2-2. And that's again, where the Union, they can get the lead all they want. I don't feel confident in them holding it. So you said 2-1. I agree. I think I don't think they shut them out. The fact that we have people in the comments saying they're shutting them out, I love the optimism. Maybe the Phillies losing today made me a little bit more pessimistic. I want to agree with you, though, Dave. I'm going to go 1-0. And I'm sorry, 2-1 as well. But I do think the Union will give up a lead again. It'll be 1-1. It'll be go 1-0, 1-1, and the Union are just going to get lucky at the end of the match because I don't see it being easier than that.
Well, sorry just to be the downer. So since the Cincinnati game on the 17th, the Union have dropped 9 points in winning positions. 9 points.
Holy crap. If they just don't have it in them. All right, so let me ask you then, right? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, we get out of the first round, we lose to Cincinnati. You look back on this season, in this regular season, what are your overall vibes on this team, this club?
Wasted opportunity.
Especially
with the League's Cup, I feel like, again, I know it was Inter Miami, I know it was messy, but like, it was there. I feel like, you know, it was home field advantage. It was there for the taking somewhat. I think, again, the season could be closing up in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Sure. November 8th would be the, if they lost both of them.
That's what I mean. Like, it could be wrapping up in a couple of weeks. I think some wasted opportunity would be this, I think, especially after you looking at last season, where you look at how great that regular season was, all round, like, you know, really putting teams to the sword, killing them, like, putting them really 4-5-0, and just the amount of massive wins they're winning. I think they didn't need an almost break the goals, overall goals record in the MLS and things like that. Like, it just, you know, and to be robbed of the support shield or some BS head-to-head record or whatever, and wins as opposed to goal difference and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at that season. Like, just that was it felt like the perfect season. Everything clicked. You know,
it was magical,
this year,
wasn't it?
It was great. And look at this year. And perhaps that did hamper expectations. Perhaps that did heighten our expectations, and perhaps it clouded our judgment of how a season will go. Because I feel like this year probably is more of a that's a good question. Sorry, seeing Todd's question.
You are touching upon the past year, this year. So, Dave, for Todd's question is to Dave, why aren't the front three clicking like they were last year?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Perhaps because teams have I think we've perhaps seen teams approach the diamond more this year, or perhaps have scouted out better this year. I think that might have has potentially somewhat done. Hampered where, you know, perhaps hampered it. I think, again, we've seen like the Union have struggled playing with a diamond this year, not just defensively, but, you know, going forward. And we've seen that. It's like the opening few weeks of the season was like beating a dead horse. Like, they were just creating nothing. It was so lackluster. And I think teams have sort of found out how to, you know, compact the midfield and try and stop the Union from playing through the middle and try and get them into more wide areas and, you know, focus on playing that wide. And when you've only got two wide, when you've only got your fullbacks as your wide options, like that, you know, you're going to struggle in that sort of sense, especially when they're forcing you to go wide. But again, I think Gazdag as well, last year, like, I know, of course, he scored plenty of goals this year, but I think Gazdag not being as much of a threat from open play is potentially not as hamper them as well. And I think, I think you mentioned it earlier, Mike, just the production from the fullbacks in general. Like, you can't remember the last time Olivier Mbaizo put in a good cross into the box or great chances. I think perhaps, you know, the chance creation from other players across the pitch, you know, getting the ball into the box for the two forwards, is nowhere near as impactful as it was last year. Like, Kai Wagner, the first half of the season, I don't think he put in a good corner. I don't think he beat the first man for a lot of his corners and will actually find the Union player in the box. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. And I think, of course, Mikel hasn't been as impactful this year as well. I think he struggled to, you know, get into a groove. But again, I attribute it to Jim not giving them the full 90 minutes or giving them at least a longer run at things. Julian Carranza has been more wasteful this year than he was last year. There's so many chances you look at this year, like the open goal misses he's had, the sitters and one-on-ones he's had, which you look at last year, and you think he probably scores half of them. I think it's just a combination of a lot of things. Maybe it's confidence. Maybe it's just teams have found out the way the unit played. Overall production, I think it's a lot of things, Todd. But I think, yeah, it's a good thing that perhaps if you did a deeper dive into the season, where you could perhaps pinpoint a couple of things. But I certainly think for Gazdag, especially, he's just not been as he just hasn't been as impactful. He hasn't been as clinical as he was from open play last year, especially. You know, like,
well, you think too, how many players had career years? Kai Wagner had a career season. Kyle says Mbaize's potential is like Dominic Brown's potential. It's true. It's there. And you know what? Jim Curtin has said that too. he's mentioned in the press conference at least once that Olivier has potential to play overseas and thrive. He just
I think he will be going overseas. I think he will be going overseas.
Well, with the visa. Of the visa issue with his family. And Valerie also says, woe to all ye who remember not the many lean years before 2019, which was true. We've gone through a lot. I know we're complaining because we're spoiled now, but the point is we are still expecting more things.
Sorry to jump on that. So I think you said we are spoiled, but I think again it was a conversation that we had at the start of the year and how big it was, the fact they retained pretty much the entirety of the starting roster apart from a couple of squad players, they retained the entirety of the starting team. You think, you're looking at it, you think surely they can, that's a good sign, they can carry on. You look at so many teams that lose such key parts of the squad or a starting team every season, like we see with like the Red Bull, like the NYCFC, they lose Castellanos, they lose a couple of other players, they've not been anywhere near the same team. Like, and you look at the new, with the Union, think they've got everyone back from last season essentially. Like, how can they not build on that? How can they not continue to grow and develop as a team? You know, that was just year one of this team, of this complete Union that we finally have got put together, and they've regressed a lot. Maybe, as you sort of said, it's a career year, and typically with a career year, you get a fall off.
Point, and I've been looking on my phone here to try to figure out last season. So I'm going to bring up Eric's point real quick. I've heard that argument a lot. It's not a good one. Expectations should rise when a team is good. A team should be held to standards.
I agree.
And I agree with you 100%, Eric.
But I think that's what the team has been held to the standards. And that's why I think a lot of people aren't happy with the way they've played this year. But I think you've got to try and rationalize and sort of say, like, be realistic, as Julian Carranza are going to be, as clinical as Daniel Gazdag going to score like 10 penalties and 10 open play goals every year? Probably not.
Well, also, so to Todd's point, the question he asked earlier was, why aren't the front three clicking like they were last year? So if you remember before the Sergio Santos trade, which is like right around July, the early week of July, the Union had gone through that rut of just like draws. There was a lot of mediocre vibes to the team. Like, we didn't think that they really had it out to like win the MLS Cup. So then you get rid of Sergio, and then you have the July 8th game against DC United. So that's when the onslaught of scoring went on. But if you look at the teams we played against, it's not exactly they were like amazing teams either. We played DC United twice. We kicked the shit out of them. We beat Inter Miami 2-1. New England, we beat 2-1. Orlando, we beat 1-0. You keep going down. We beat the Fire 4-1. Then DC 6-0. We beat the Rapids 6-0. Atlanta United 4-1. So it's like, yeah, we beat the Red Bulls 2-0, but these aren't exactly they weren't exactly dominant teams last year that we were playing against. And then a lot of people put that argument out, like, oh, well, it was the strength of schedule. The Union were just kicking everybody's butt who were weaker than them. So I think that kind of added to it, but least it gave you a good confident vibe that, yeah, maybe they were playing weaker teams, but at least you were destroying them. And that kind of kept the confidence going. And then Todd says, you need a traditional 10 that can play line-splitting passes like Jill, Dochkow, Amata, I can't even read that, Ozil, or et cetera. And that's one thing people say with Daniels, that he's not that, superstar Mukhtar player who can take over a game. And to your point, this year he really hasn't.
No. But I think, sorry, just to go back on that point, obviously you were sort of raising with the whole the Union beating the teams they should be. But I think, as you sort of mentioned, they had the big rut of draws, but they lost two. So after June 29th, they'd only lost two games, like the first 16, 17 games, which was the difference compared to this year. I think the team had lost like a couple of games by the time they played six games, as opposed to last year. I mean, they were drawing games, but they were doing it. They were avoiding defeat quite often. But I think, as you mentioned as well, they weren't setting the world on fire. They weren't setting them up in terms of the opposition they were beating. But they were beating teams that should be beating. I think that was the difference in comparison to this year. They were going on the road. I'm not saying they're going to win like 4-0 every week and things like that, but they were going to DC United and winning. They were going to, they were going to places like Orlando and winning, Miami and winning. But then you compare it to this year. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think they lost to Miami this year 2-0.
Second game of the season.
Second game of the season. Do you know what I mean? Like, you compare it to this season, last season, going to Orlando, I think the Union drew in Orlando this year.
They drew them with Jose Martinez screamer. You have to think about this as well, to Todd's point, or to just the general comparison of the two seasons. you have players like Bedoya, like Kai, playing really well at a very high level, but you also weren't playing as many games. And, like, we've seen Uwa deal with injuries. I think Carranza had the concussion. I think he also had a little bit of injury. We've seen Gazlak deal with injuries. We didn't have injuries last year. No. We weren't playing on this new training turf, all that stuff. We weren't dealing with constant travel. We didn't have – the Open Cup last year was done after one round because we lost to Orlando, the Stu Finley game where he scored a goal.
Woo-hoo.
We weren't in the CCL. We didn't have Leagues Cup. We played 38 games that year, and we finished on November whatever it was, like 5th, whenever my dreams got crushed in November. And this year we're already at 76 games. So it's So I think that also plays into the fact that these rotations are constantly being mixed up and changed up. How many times have we said, what do you think the lineup's gonna be on Saturday? I don't fucking know. Who knows? Because we've played 17 games in the past 3 weeks and we have no idea because we're exhausted and players are hurt and all that stuff. And that could also lead to the fact that these players being exhausted, being in weird formations, being in weird lineup combinations could affect their output. Uwa also didn't have the season we all thought he was going to have either, to be perfectly honest. We all thought he was going to have a breakout year, and he didn't. So that also put into contribution to that. And then Jim says, as a PSU fan as well, I unfortunately agree with you about not winning the big games for both teams. And that's what it comes down to as well. The Union have had chances to win a trophy. We could have won Leagues Cup. We didn't. We should have probably beaten Minnesota in the Open Cup, at least try to advance. We didn't.
Yeah.
The CCL, we made the semifinals again. We couldn't beat LAFC again. This is really our last chance, and I don't have any faith that they're going to win it when it matters. Go ahead.
But I think even then you could probably make the argument they had a good chance to go to LAFC and get something before, Barza got sent off for their second yellow card, which I think I remember calling within the first 20 minutes. When I remember when Barza and Bedoya both got yellow card inside the first half, and I said they need to take one of them off because you can't have two players on that side with Bawanga going up against arguably the best player in the MLS at the time. Both from the other cards because they're going to target them and it's going to end up, something's going to happen. And lo and behold, it did. Olivier got absolutely rinsed, had to foul him because there was no cover on the right hand side because Bedoya had been beat because he couldn't commit the foul or he could have risked putting a challenge in. Ali was sent off and then the game, the whole time just completely unraveled. And that, again, perhaps Jim's in game management at times hasn't been as great as it was. I mean, you could probably argue perhaps Jim's in game substitutions haven't been as impactful. Like, you remember that, the Orlando game, I think at home this year, they lost 2-1. And of course, the whole, it came out that, Mikel Uwa was actually ill, so that's why they played the full game. But they replaced Mikel Uwa for Matt Real instead of the attacking option of Raffanello on the bench. Like, instead of putting on an attacking option, they took off the only striker they had in the team, which left Chris Donovan at front on the zone against a back three and didn't test Orlando for the rest of the game. In-game tactical decisions like that. Perhaps Jim
go ahead, finish your thought real quick.
So perhaps Jim hasn't been up to the standards that he set last year as well.
And listen, also, we were talking about the front three, Todd, and again, it's a great question. How about last year's front four? Because you have to throw in Corey Burke into that mix. He's not there this year.
Yeah.
He's not. And you bring in Chris Donovan or Quinn Sullivan up top. Well, maybe it's not really been Quinn as much. It's mostly been Donovan. And you put him next to Carranza, and it's just not the same threat you had last year. It's just not. And that might be a contributing factor as well. And you also had Sergio for, like, a few months of the season as well. But go ahead, Dave.
No, yeah, I think, there was no plan B for this team, which is a frustrating thing, right? Again, when the team does need a goal, they need to get perhaps change the style of play. They can't just go long and... Again, Uwa and Kranz are both tall, but you haven't got that battering ram of a player like Corey Burke who's going to steam in there, win headers, and cause a bit of chaos in a different manner as opposed to having pace and power. Like, it restricts you to playing one way. And we've seen it plenty of times when he's not on the pitch. And this year, when the Union play long balls forward and they try to be a bit more direct, the ball just comes straight back at them.
Speaking of the long ball, doesn't it feel like we've been called offside this year more than we have in previous seasons? Or is that just me? I feel like Uwa has been called offside like crazy. So Eric makes a funny point. That's the other point that Philadelphians ignore, or Posadelphians ignore. All these chances in a CCL spot is all we have to show for it. The season has been a slow and painful burn. I just want to be put out of my misery already. I like Eric's pessimism sometimes. It makes me laugh.
Go ahead. Now in our life, I mean, we're all negative and we're all not feeling great for this. This would be the one time the Union do end up winning these DMS Cup and everyone else is doubting the team and has written them off. This would be the year that... there you go, Julian. Yeah, I mean, been offside more than other team this year. Perhaps teams, I've noticed teams have perhaps played a higher line this year against the Union, which perhaps they haven't played in other years because, again, they've got the pace.
You saw DC and, do that. DC United did that, but go ahead.
So, I mean, like, the strikers are playing on the last man and perhaps they're not timing the runs right. That might be a defensive strategy to step up before the ball's played. Yeah, I think as Eric says, but it does felt like a slog this year. I think there's been so many games, including like League's Cup. I think the League's Cup towards the end was a bit of a slog, you know, like it was in the Querétaro semi-final where it was just like, just slam your head against a brick wall watching a team that, you know, you saw the Union destroyed 10 days beforehand, 5-1, and you're just thinking, where is the tempo? Where's the intensity of this team, you know? And they got lucky because of a red card and a bit of a magic from Chris Donovan.
Speaking of people choking and when it matters most, the Astros are down 8-2, and Dusty Baker, I believe, has never won a Game 7. I know Kyle had posted about being a Giants fan with Bruce Bochy. With him, he's always been undefeated in Game 7. So, well, they're taking it to the Astros right now, 8-2. Yeah. So the Phillies win tomorrow night. They're playing the Rangers, it seems like, pending some sort of amazing comeback. But you know what? The thing is, the last year, though, Dave, too, is that the Union were, when they needed to win a game, they won a game. They were able to find that next gear and take it to the next level and win those games. We've seen it multiple times now this season where they've had a chance where, let's say, Cincinnati dropped points and we failed to win. Even the game against the Revolution, you could have secured a third spot and you couldn't because you gave up two more goals. When you had the game at home against Cincinnati, can you imagine the push for the supporter shield, how much different that would have been if you had won that game? You would have legitimately had a chance to make a run for the shield if you had beat Cincinnati home. You failed to do it. And I can think of probably four or five other times, and I'm sure people in the comments can think of about three or four other times.
Toronto game as well, but
the Toronto game was...
Of course, yeah.
The Toronto game. The Montreal game, where the Montreal hadn't scored against anybody. And next thing you know, it was like a floodgates open against the Union. There were so many times this season when the Union had chances to really put their staple on the season, say, this is our team, this is our culture. And we've said this multiple times. I said this a couple weeks ago. You can't say that this team is uncharacteristically playing bad when it's been all season. This is just who the Union are. They are a middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team. They'll have games when they can play against the best. They'll have games when they play like shit against Toronto. And that's just the reality of it. Eric says this comes down to the question of whether it's better to be close and never get it or never be close at all. I think Eric's getting really philosophical on me. I don't know if he needs a hug tonight. I hear you, though.
But all I'll say is now, you'll definitely be enjoying the Union more now as opposed to 7 or 8 years ago when, you know, they were struggling. I mean, I remember seeing the Union post the other day, was it 2019? They won the first 2018, 2019. They won the first ever playoff game against the Red Bulls.
Yeah, 2018.
Like, all I'll say is they're
2019.
2019. Were you happy? Are you happier watching this team now than you were even like a year or two beforehand? I mean, that's the thing I'll say. That's the thing that I will credit Jim for, and perhaps that's something he doesn't deserve credit for. Like, and perhaps we are being too, selfish in that sense. Like, again, I know it's annoying, and perhaps, you know, you start then climbing up the ladder looking at ownership. But, like, for the money this team has, the money it spends, like, it's somewhat a miracle that they are as competitive and have such a stronghold of where they are in the table and in the league. I think Kenji sort of said, like, you know, it's a credit to Jim that he has taken, slowly built up this team from, you know, just mid-table, pretenders, a team that just sniffs around the playoffs every year and might sneak in 1 year and, you know, lose 2-0 in the first round. Now the expectation is, okay, we want to try and get into an Eastern Conference final. I think that is something that Jim just deserved credit for, but I just think, as we sort of said, like, last year's expectations perhaps pushed us up so high, or even the last couple of years, you know, from 2020, from the COVID year, from 2020 up to now. Perhaps expectations have been pushed up so high that, you know, this is a come down year. We are, because again, like, you know, the team gradually year by year has gotten better. I think even for the playoffs, you know, obviously the year beforehand, you know, winning another playoff game before getting beat, then winning the Support Shield, then get to the Eastern Conference, then get to the Amherst Cup Finals. I mean, this has been probably the first year in about 5 years where this team hasn't gradually gotten better.
So I'm going to read, first of all, Kyle, again, the other half of the one team we agree on, does print out the stat. 2023 of 2.6 offside per game, 2022 1.9 offside per game, 2021 2.1. So that last year, listen, I mean, 1.9 to 2.6 doesn't sound significant from a number standpoint, but when it comes to a game, you get one more extra per match, and then maybe that one is a goal last year, and this year it's not. But Eric again says, maybe the fall pre-2019 was shorter. At least my expectations and hope weren't as high. This is what three Phillies losses in 5 days, coupled with a Union and PSU loss OSU, does to me. Eric, I feel your pain, buddy. I do. And again, we've mentioned, I've said this a few times, and we'll wrap up the show shortly after this. Jim Curtin is very much mimicking what Andy Reid did for an eternity. He got really close in the big games. You can say the Eastern Conference Finals, the NFC Championship losses equal the U.S. Open Cup losses, right? He lost the Super Bowl. We lost an MLS Cup.
Yep.
Curtin's been around forever. Reed's been around forever. It very much feels like the Union fans have to suffer just the way Eagles fans did and just the way Phillies fans did and everybody else. So maybe this is just their way of indoctrinating themselves into the, you know, the Union, the Philadelphia miserable fanness that is our lives. And that's what it is. Yep. But eventually, to your point, though, Dave, this has been more fun to watch the team. I definitely am more into it now than I ever been in my entire life. So, and listen, they've also accumulated how many points over the last few years, more than any other MLS club? They're doing something right. I mean, the problem is now is if Tanner continue to grow off this, right? You don't want to see what happens. Wait, Eric says, does that mean 10 years from now, a Curtin disciple will come back and win it all for us? It has to be. So Pat Noonan will come to Philly in 10 years. He'll pull a Doug Peterson, or Ray Gattis will come. That's what it'll be. Ray Gattis will be the coach. Because, like, look, Doug Peterson was a coach for Andy Reid back in 99. Ray Gattis will come to Philadelphia, lead us to the promised land in 2031 or whatever. And that'll be it. Any final thought, Dave, before I read the sponsors?
Yeah, can't wait for the Ray Gattis Philadelphia Union to win the 2031 MLS Cup.
go ahead.
No, yeah, I think sort of see that. Just again, I mean, perhaps again, I think expectations have become so high. This is probably the first year the Union haven't continued to grow and build. But who knows? I mean, we sort of the plaster play. As I sort of said, this, you know, the Union or whatever, like the way the Union are, like, this will be the year they do win it all, and everyone's like coming to the playoffs all down and, you know, doubting the team, and they end up going on a run and winning the whole thing. Who knows? I think like the Western Conference is a lot weaker this year as well. So I mean, the Union would, unless it's St. Louis.
St. Louis scares me. And listen, look, you want to go back to the Eagles championship run, right? Nobody thought they were going to make it to the playoffs without Carson Wentz. You know, Nick and his manhood took over and just took us to the promised land. So maybe that's it. Maybe this team just needs to have a restart. In a way, the playoffs are a restart. You made it through the regular season. You got a home field advantage for at least one round. Now you just have to do it. So
I was just saying that if the Union do get to the MLS Cup final, they're pretty much, unless it's St. Louis, they will host the MLS Cup final.
Yeah, isn't that crazy how much better the East is in terms of standings? There's a legitimate chance to host the MLS Cup as long as St. Louis gets knocked out.
Well, I mean, the whole argument the year the Union won the Shield was, oh, it's not fair. The Western Conference played tougher games. Like, now look at this year by year thing, really. You can't really get all upset by it or anything, but
no.
Yeah, I think, no. Yeah, it's going to be a, who knows? I mean, perhaps, I think my tone shifted as well, perhaps throughout the show. But I think it's hard to look at this, and it's hard to look at it with a positive outlook with the way that the season has ended. But you know, football's provided a lot of weirder, funnier, and weirder things and ways to, you know, shock you. So who knows?
That's true. Speaking of shocking, Allstate Insurance Agency Deborah Sigler is 6750 Iroquois Trail Number 3 in Allentown, PA. She specializes in insurance for auto, home, renter's life, and much more. Get a quote today by calling 610-395-6100. That was a weird segue with the shocking thing. I don't know how I got there, but here we are. Vinny's Pizza. Discover a new favorite by trying the top pizzas now in time, plus pasta, salads, calzone, sandwiches, and more. Check out their new menu at vinny'spizzarestaurant.com. South of the Grills, offering a unique twist on a traditional sandwich shop, homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, baked goods, available for all events at southofthegrills.com. If you're hosting a Union Watch party, call South of the Grills. They do wonders there. Manscaped, get 20% off by using the code AATSports at manscaped.com. You have Philly Sports Trip. Join us in Washington. We already did the New York one. Come to us with Washington. Secure your spot at phillysportstrip.com and select Allentown pickup at checkout. And listen, last week, a couple across the pitch things. We did the interview with Rachel Gray for the Sons of Ben committee. We're going to release that soon. Jose just interviewed Julian Carranza. He did a great job with that. If you haven't caught it, check out his YouTube account.
Check out YouTube. The full video is on his Twitter account as well. So
exactly. It was a great interview in Spanish, English subtitles. Great job. And also some other things in the works right now for us. Jose and I may be debuting something. We'll see. We'll have to wait till Wednesday for it. So no spoilers. We're going to see if Wednesday comes through. But listen, man, it's been a fun year. As I said, you know, the season restarts. Now we start over. Everybody's squared. Everybody's even. Final thought, Dave, when we close out the show before an hour, Mark. You're welcome, guys.
Yeah, we've done well. We've done well there. I mean, again, we've got a few days now before the game, I think, of course. A lot of people now will be reshifting their focus to tomorrow night with the Phillies. I think, again, it's a big opportunity, good opportunity for the Union to bounce back, not only bounce back, but to regain some confidence, perhaps reset some expectation, because who knows if they could win tomorrow and potentially go to New England and get a result and close the series out in New England. It wouldn't shock me if that. It would certainly raise my expectations or give me greater hope. I'm not sure about you, Mike, but I think it would give a lot of fans great hope to see his team win this series in two games.
I would agree. Absolutely. Derek says, let's go you. Eric says, fun. We'll go with that. I'm focusing on 2033 now. Listen, if Ray Gass becomes a coach, I want all of you guys to message me and say, Mike, you were right 10 years ago. Todd says, closing the show at under an hour because Jose isn't here. Damn right, Todd. And Kyle, great conversation. By the way, thanks for joining us today. Yeah. Dave and I have had a crazy busy weekend. We barely caught the game, so I appreciate the comments because it helps us get things going here because I've been working all day and I got to work after this too. So, Jim, again, thank you so much. And by the way, I'm just going to quote, Rocky, right? Just win, man. Win. That's it. Win. That's all we need. Good night, everybody. Have Monday night. Go Phillies.
Good Union. The Phillies, the Eagles.